Welcome to Coming Up for Air, the Allies in Recovery podcast, with hosts Laurie McDougall, Kayla Solomon, and Dominique Simone Levine.
Okay, so today's topic, Dominique, open us up. Tell us what we're talking about today.
Good morning. So what I'm talking about is I'd like to introduce you to Craft. I'd like to act as though you've never heard of Craft. You've never come to this podcast. You haven't looked at our website, our training, the goals. You don't know anything about Craft. And I want to tell you, I've been doing Craft with families for 20 years now. And one of the hardest things that families and I had to get over and continue to have to get over is when a family comes to us for Craft, they've got big problems typically, right? They don't come when things are calm and stable and quiet. And the best of you is thinking, oh gosh, it's over, right? The worst of you is thinking, no, it's not. But you're coming with a big issue. He got kicked out of school. She had a car accident. They lost their job. My husband is smelling of alcohol in the morning. I mean, you know, you come with these big issues and you come to Craft. And first we go, okay, we're going to put aside the crisis and we're going to start at the very beginning with you. And you're going to hate it because you want your crisis solved and you want your problem resolved and you want your loved one basically helicoptered out and brought to treatment and taken care of and brought back to you whole, hopefully with qualities she or he never even really had, like keeping a checkbook or being able to save a dollar or getting a job, right? So there are lots of things going on. But what we're going to do is start you at the very beginning, at the interaction that you have with your loved one, at the place where you hold resources and some agency, and we're going to talk about agency. Maybe you don't know how much agency or influence you might have, but you have some power in the game. And we're going to teach you where that power is, and we're going to teach you to use it in a way that your loved one is going to come towards you and say, I'm hurting, I need help. And you're, after 8, 10, 12 weeks of this, you're going to say, well, I happen to have this list of options that I've been working on to see what was out there in case you asked me for help. Okay, that takes 10 to 12 weeks in the studies of Craft. And what you get for your effort at working with us for 10 to 12 weeks is a loved one that is no longer resistant. Maybe they're still not admitting to addiction, right? To full out, my life is unmanageable. But you are able to turn both of you towards each other, make your relationship calm down, get a little bit easier, become more transparent and communicative and honest. When you have that between you and your loved one who has the problem with drugs and alcohol, you have become an ally. You have grown agency, but you have to start at the beginning, and it's so incremental, it's going to drive you crazy. It's going to be, okay, when she comes through the door, when they come through the door, what are you going to say and do? What are you going to look for? And how are you going to respond? That's the bottom line.
Yeah, so I'm gonna read the definition of agency that we have so that we have a grounding in that word itself, because I think it reinforces what Dominique says, but it also is a really important concept. And I want, when I read this out, I want you to think about two things. One is your own agency, and the other one is the agency of your loved one. This is a parallel process. And it's not just one, you're not just doing this about the other person. This is what you're going to be working on. So agency is the sense of control that you feel in your life, your capacity to influence your own thoughts and behavior and have faith in your ability to handle a wide range of tasks and situations. Your sense of agency helps you to be psychologically stable, yet flexible in the face of conflict or change. So I'm going to read this one more time because it's important and just kind of grounded in it's really what we're talking about. The sense of control that you feel in your life, your capacity to influence your own thoughts and behavior, and have faith in your ability to handle a wide range of tasks and situations. Agency helps you to be psychologically stable, yet flexible in the face of conflict or change. Now, I just want to point out here, so this is exactly what we're asking you to do when you work the Allies program is start to gain a sense of some kind of control. Because if you're with us, we know you feel completely out of control because what you're looking at is your loved one's behavior, which you cannot control. So everything that we're looking at is your own sense of control and then how you influence your own thoughts and behaviors, which is how you start moving along to this other thing, and that you need to start to build faith in your ability to handle a wide range of tasks and situations. The reason that we're saying this is because as you break it down, and we will help you break that down in the modules and our discussions and in the groups and in this podcast, you start to have a list of tools that will allow you to do this more effectively. As you get better at this, your ability to influence and attract your loved one back towards you will start to shift. And that's the control that you do have, is over yourself and then how that impacts the other people in your life.
So I love all of this, right? I love everything that Kayla and Dominique have said. And I want to add a few things to kind of point out. Oftentimes, and I was like this, by the time I got to Allies in Recovery, I felt just what Dominique was talking about and what Kayla's talking about, really. I felt totally out of control. I had no control over anything. But I will tell you this, Allies in Recovery and CRAFT gave me relief, because so many people kept saying, you don't have any control. They kept telling me that. And I kept being like, stop it. That doesn't help me. The more you tell me I don't have control over something doesn't help me at all. And the other thing is, it didn't drive me crazy that I felt a tremendous amount of relief when I found the website and started going through the modules, because for the first time on my journey, I had something I could do. And I think that's what I was looking for on my journey was, well, what can't, everybody kept telling me what I can't do. What can't, you can't do this. You can't control it. You can't do that. And then everybody also kept telling me, all you can do is control you. All you can do is take care of yourself, take care of yourself. And then here I found this website with, here, do this. Just change your you statements to I statements. And it was just these increment, just like what Dominique was saying, these incremental things that I now could do. And it gave me this tremendous sense of, oh, relief. There's something I can do. And I will say this too. It took me a long time, Kayla, to battle with the idea of control, what I have control over. And I would say to people, like, when you first start on this journey, don't get bogged down with people telling you you can't control, you can't, this is what you can't control, this is what you can't control. Put it aside, get in there, do the modules, start with the skills, because those are things you can do and you can control. But it also brings you back to agency, which is another one that I love. I grapple with words, so I love that we're talking about agency today. And that is agency. That is what CRAFT and Allies in Recovery does for family members. It helps you to adjust and it gives you agency. It helps you to gain control over how you view things, how you're going to interact with your loved one. And that is something you can control.
So there are a number of principles that we teach in CRAFT that you'll get to know very well. And one is the communications work, like Lori's saying about changing you statements to I statements, or stopping negative talk, making an understanding statement, not butting in, keeping your mouth shut, seeing which direction it goes without what you normally do when you step in. These are all things that make a huge difference in your relationship, all your relationships, but in particular, you're looking to work on this one. You have stepped into CRAFT because you want help. You have stepped into CRAFT because you are willing to make these little changes. A lot of people come to us, they just want the helicopter, and we can't get you the helicopter. It doesn't exist. All we can do And the best thing is these skills. You start learning these skills and you will be just so surprised at the changes that start happening in your loved one, you too, but in your loved one, when you change it up a little bit. I want to say two words in that definition, Kayla, that maybe you can talk about, is it makes you psychologically stable and flexible to handle conflict.
Yes. Well, and I think we need to go back to the control word, because when I think about control, it often comes with intense anxiety, because you're afraid that if it doesn't happen in a particular way, then it's going to be terrible. And so you get tight, you get reactive, and you wind up losing your ability to navigate the situation, because it kind of gets you into like black and white thinking, either or, like either it goes this way or it's going to be terrible. And so control often can get us agitated and reactive and terrified. And so we start acting in ways that are very, very, I now think of them as oppressive. They step into other people's arenas and you try to get them to do something so that in the process of attempting to save their life or to help them. And I think we do the same thing with ourselves sometimes. Okay, I have to do this or something bad is going to happen. And I think as all of us work on ourselves, we realize that it's more like being able to dance, which is, it's not about control, it's about responsiveness. It's about if somebody takes a step towards you, you get to take a little step back when you're dancing. And that's what makes a good dance, is like this fluidity and this flexibility, as opposed to this tight one, two, three, one, two, three, one. It's like, it's about flow, it's about ease. And the more you find ease, the more you're going to be able to look at things, take a step back, check in with yourself, do those kind of questions about what am I reacting to? What am I hoping to have happen? And then what is the best way to do this as opposed to the way I always do it? And the other thing that we're not talking about that's essential here is there's an element when they talked about the faith piece of it, you are having to develop faith in somebody that you don't trust at all. So that is a psychological contradiction, okay? This person is clearly harming themselves, clearly doesn't make good decisions, has like difficulties in all these different areas. You've seen them be reactive. They don't hear you most of the time. How are you supposed to have faith and trust in this person? We are operating on changing the dynamic that you have with this person so that you can start noticing what they are capable of. You can notice their strength. You notice their power, and you're giving it back to them, which actually helps build them up. Because part of the allies process is that you're really working on allowing the other person to have agency over their own lives, which, by the way, has better outcomes, which is why this technique is proven. Because the forced intervention kind of processes that we've all learned about has no agency. It's control. And so that person is not making a choice. You are choosing it for them. And what we're doing is this more subtle process where the person is given the respect and the time and the space to make their own choices, which has better outcome because it comes with their own agency.
This all comes back to self-soothing, and it becomes very much a cycle that we get stuck in with our loved ones. I'm going to attempt to self-soothe by putting up these guardrails for you, because your behavior, the way you behave on the other end of it, is what keeps me calm, right? At least that's the belief. So if I can just control your behavior and I set up these really rigid guardrails, I'm doing you a favor because I'm showing you how it should be done. But I'm also placing how I'm feeling and my own self-soothing on your behavior. So it's on your back. How you behave is now going to determine how I feel and kind of self-care, which it isn't self-care. It's no, my self-care is in your hands. But then vice versa, because our loved ones then also rely on us to tell them how they should feel. And it's just this vicious, vicious cycle. And it's that moment when we start to realize, wow, I can try and put up all these guardrails, all I'm doing is boxing someone in, kind of like what Kayla's saying is, it's really hard to let someone have agency over themselves if all you can see is danger and all you're experiencing is fear, anxiety, love, all at the same time, and that's what's driving you. So craft really is about the more agency you take, or the more agency that you have, the more empowered you become, and the more agency you can give to your loved one and let them learn about it, and the more empowered they become.
Yeah, that's a very good summary of it. And I think what's hard for family members is, my loved one's in such bad shape. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to let her just twist and turn out there. I'm the smarter one. I'm the one that's supposed to take care of her safety. I'm the one. And we're saying, no, you're not. You're not. You're a helper. You're an ally. You're a partner. You're going to stand next to her. And you're going to be there, and you're going to open communication. You're going to keep it as close and transparent as you can. And you are going to have to wait and see the twists and turns that she takes and step in. This is the behavioral piece of craft that may be getting lost sometimes, but you are actually physically dancing, as Kayla says. You are going to step in those moments when they're dangling and they're unhappy, or they're wanting something more for themselves. We call that change talk. It's motivational talk. It's, I need a change in my life talk. We're going to teach you to hear that. And then physically you step in and you go, hey, honey, you know, I've been noticing how the alcohol is starting to take up your mornings now. And I found this. And look, you and I both know this isn't going to work out. And I love the efforts you've been making, but maybe we need something more here. Here's a list. You've stepped in. Your loved one is on a tear looking for money to go out, to get on the street and buy something. It is no time to step in and go, hey, honey, look at this list that I've made. You know, it's going to be F you. And so we know there are times to step in. We know there are patterns. We're going to teach you that pattern. You are going to teach yourself to be so aware of your loved one's use patterns, so that when they're using, you're going to physically step away. You're going to neutralize yourself. You may leave the room. You're not going to try anything. You're not going to get angry. You're not going to create conflict or get into it with them. You're just going to walk away. But when they are in a semi low use place or no use place, which happens daily, weekly, huh? It does. It happens. Low or no use. It happens, everybody. Even opiate users have low and no use out of force, or because they're buying Suboxone strips on the street, they're managing their addiction. So you will learn that pattern, and you will know when to dance and step in and when to dance and step away. And that's the key to it, because then the whole world is changing for them. You've changed your language. You've changed your body movement. You've changed your what you're offering, what you're doing. It's a very, very strong approach, but it's all in these little interpersonal ways. And you have to slow down. You have to stop thinking about the crisis and about just wanting them into treatment or wanting them getting a job or wanting them back. Whatever it is you want, you put it all down and you go, okay, I'm just going to learn these skills, because you're going to see huge change just by making these core changes to yourself.
Which is powerful. And that's what's exciting about this, because usually when people come to us, they have no idea what to do. They're getting 25 different messages from 25 different people. And that is the problem, is with every single person you ask, you're going to get a different piece of advice. And again, I want to repeat, what we believe is that unsolicited advice comes across as criticism. So every time somebody says, do this, did you do this, what's happening, you are already feeling criticized. And I want us to remember that, because when we do that with our loved ones, they feel criticized as well, which is why telling somebody what to do or giving them advice needs to be one of the first things you take off the table. So agency is about this kind of respect that you give the other person. And I keep thinking about this dancing analogy, because I keep thinking about when you're dancing with somebody who is a good leader, ironically, this is the irony of using this analogy. It's called leader and follower, okay? But a good leader feels like they're giving you this kind of guidance without pushing you around. It's like there's this flow. It goes back to the flow and ease. It's like they're making these moves and you're flowing with them, and they are able to move in a way that it almost feels like it's not happening. But then you're getting this incredible sense of satisfaction, like, I don't even know how to dance, but that was really nice and that was really fun. And that's the energy that we want to convey to our loved ones, is this flow and ease. And we are moving. It's not like we're not doing anything, but we're doing it in a very, with a very light touch. We're doing it in a way that the other person feels like they're doing it with us, not that we're doing it to them and we're not shoving them around.
I love all of this, because basically what we're talking about is there's a difference between control and influence. And I say this all the time about craft and allies in recovery. When we're looking for, when we're communicating now in a different way, in a more understanding, not in a pushy, forceful, you know, I'm trying to get you to do something, or even avoidant. That's the other thing, even avoidant. When we're changing our communication skills and tactics, we're starting to listen to the other person. And I tell people this all the time about allies in recovery and craft, is that what we're doing is we are helping to influence our loved one in a particular way. We are waiting to hear them come up with ideas and then tapping into it. And that's giving or allowing someone's own agency. My loved one might express a wish or a dip. Oh my God, I can't believe I dropped out of that class. I really want to go. I really want to finish school. And now I'm lost. There's a dip. They're feeling bad. That's a moment when you can get in there and you can say, talk to me about that. What is a way that we could get you back to school? Is there one step you could take today or tomorrow that might kind of get you back in the direction of going back and taking a few classes? That's not me saying, you dropped out of school and I can't believe you did that and you should go back and you've got to da, 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 da. Instead, I wait, I hear it, and then I encourage it. And that's influence. That's not control. I have no control over whether the person goes and does that. Maybe it's they come up with, well, I could go online and I could look at courses for the fall. Yeah, good. Do you need my help? You know, why don't we talk about it again tomorrow? Come back and tell me what you find. And there it is. There it is. I'm not telling you what to do. You can do it. You don't have to do it. I'm giving you agency. And I'm not controlling the situation. I'm letting the person kind of discover things about themselves. And I can feel good about me, right? It feels really good to not try and control someone else. And you walk away from situations like that feeling like, wow, we did get somewhere. We did go somewhere with it. And Dominique, you said something earlier about, especially about parenting. And this is true for partners too, for romantic partners. Because I think with substance use disorder, often as romantic partners, we kind of fall into a parenting type role, right? When we're interacting with someone with substance use disorder. But the goals of parenting are not to control and tell someone what to do. The goals of parenting is, how can I help my child, adult child, become independent so that when they have to make a decision and I'm not there, they're going to make decisions that are better for them. And that's what craft is basically also saying. That's what we kind of have to continue with that. How does someone become independent and make decisions for themselves? It isn't if I'm putting up all sorts of guardrails and making those decisions for them and trying to force them into it. It's about letting them make decisions for themselves. And then if those decisions aren't great, just being there, ready, waiting. Okay, well, what do you need to do? What steps do you need to do to turn it around? And that is agency. And that is letting go of feeling like you have to control everything, even when an individual doesn't make the choice that you want them to make.
everybody listening to this is dealing with a history of poor choices, or what we consider poor choices. And I feel like what happens is that the natural process of relationships gets interrupted here, because if you have a child who is on a developmental spectrum, they're getting more and more agency as time goes on, and you can learn to let go. But when they go off course and they start making bad decisions where they're hurting themselves, yes, they do need other resources, but it doesn't help to go in and go into hyper control to try to manage it, because that just feeds that system of dysfunction. And so you do need to start, it's almost like starting over with, how do you change the relationship with this? Which is great, because that's what we're offering. You're going to change the dynamic, change the relationship, change yourself. And really, really, the big work happens on yourself. That's where it really happens. And then as you do more and more of this, it will feed itself and allow you to feel more, I'm going to use the word competent, but I don't know if that's what I really mean. But you're going to have more trust in yourself and more faith in yourself as the microscopic changes start to happen. Now, Dominique started this by talking 8 to 10 weeks, 8 to 12 weeks, whatever. I have a hard time with that, because I don't want you to have this expectation that the fireworks and the magic is going to happen in 12 weeks. If you dig in 12 weeks, what's going to happen is you're going to notice the change in yourself. And what's going to happen is there's going to be microscopic changes in your loved one. And that's the beginning of this process. So don't go big. Look at the small kind of changes that you're noticing. Dominique, I see you're having a reaction. This is where we fight.
Well, both are true, what Kayla's saying and what I'm saying, because at the end of 10, 12 weeks, there have been over 30 studies, I think, of craft over 25, 30 years. 60% of you will get your loved one to go do something that you're trying to influence them to do, whatever that is generically. And the other point I want to make is, it's not always, I'm scared they're going to kill themselves, which unfortunately is the opioid rates, the epidemic, it's the highest year ever. The numbers just came out again. And so we have a society in which our streets are selling poison, and it's super dangerous out there. So it's not just that they're going to perhaps injure or kill themselves out there, but it's what their behavior does to you, right? We've been saying this all along, and I just want to add a few things that it does to you that I see in my own experience and in families that I'm working with. One is, they're going to bankrupt you. That is a huge concern for families, especially those of you who have been through paying for private treatment or paying for cleanups of rental units that, you know, were trashed. Whatever you've been doing, there's just so much misery in this that it's not just what they're doing. You might even be at the point of saying, just go. But we want you to do this one last thing before you say, that's it, I'm done with you, out. I want you to try craft. I want you to try this extremely successful approach to see if you can change the nuts and bolts of things sufficient to calm you down a little bit and encourage them in a better direction. And you won't go bankrupt. It's the fear of going bankrupt. It's the fear of them wrecking your car. It's the fear of all of that that's going to be in your way when you try to do these little simple things like change a you statement to an I statement. My favorite one, I'd like to repeat it all the time, is this: the sound of me biting my own tongue so that I cannot open my mouth. That is the very first skill that I learned with craft, and the one I still have to work on the most.
Remember, wait, why am I talking?
And also, just an added piece in there is that when we talk about 10 to 12 weeks, right, oftentimes it's touted as 10 to 12 weeks and a loved one goes into treatment. I think the problem stems from the definition of what we perceive to be the definition of treatment. And I love how you put it, Dominique, when you said movement into something, because actually it could be as simple as your loved one starts to go back to church. They may still be using, but they're going back to church. Just that movement could be a part of their treatment program. They're reaching out and they're getting connected to the community. Or maybe they start to exercise, or maybe they get a counselor, maybe they look into going back to school or something like that. So this idea of 10 to 12 weeks, that's all it takes before you start to see movement towards something more positive and open your mind up into what does it mean? What does treatment actually mean, or a treatment program? What does that mean? It might mean an intensive outpatient program, but it also might mean, well, 5 months ago or 2 months ago, they weren't exercising. All they were doing is they were using all day long, or they weren't out of the basement. All they were doing were playing video games. And now they get up every morning and they go to the gym. So this idea, narrowing treatment down as to, you know, just a 30-day residential treatment, that's not necessarily what we're talking about. We're talking about get to 10 to 12 weeks and then get reflective. Where was your loved one 10 to 12 weeks ago, and has there been change? If you are implementing these skills, there has to be change.
And 10 to 12 weeks, just to finish this off, is what the studies always did. And at Allies in Recovery, we learned early on that families aren't through in 10 to 12 weeks. Even if your loved one goes into care and is doing well and is hanging on, and you'll always see something that's still lacking, and you'll always have this desire to step in, you're never going to be 100% clear of it. I'm sorry, you just are not. You love someone that has a chronic issue that may reoccur in the future. And so you are always walking around thinking, you know, it's going to go. This isn't going to last. And so Allies doesn't limit this program. You come and you stay as long as you want. You leave, you come back when you've got a problem. You do what you need to take care of yourself and to be reminded of these skills, to listen to others talk about how they're working it in their life, to read something that was a question you had. So this is your home. And we believe families may need a home more even than the person with addiction needs a mutual aid or needs some kind of tapping in regularly to this topic. It's the way you change a habit. If you really want to change your habit, you got to keep coming back, right? You got to work it to work it. Sorry, I've got a lot of these meeting makers make it, but it's very true. Motivation to keep this going. And that's why we're here, is come back to us and we'll kick you in the pants and we'll get you going again.
Love it. Thank you. Kayla, can you wrap us up?
Okay. So today's topic was agency, which basically means that you are really focusing on your own sense of control over yourself. And that as you get better and have a more effective toolbox, you will have some influence on other people. But the goal is to feed positivity so that they feel a sense of agency. So the goal is for your loved ones to feel agency, because that will allow them to make better decisions. And you cannot allow, give, or even provide agency to somebody else or respect their agency if you don't calm yourself down. So your job is to work on yourself. And then the goal is to give the other person their own respect and agency back and notice it, so that you're feeding their agency, even though they might not even feel it.
Let's empower everybody.
Exactly.
Okay, great. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks for listening. We hope this episode of Coming Up for Air spoke to you. If you're listening in today on a podcast platform that isn't the Allies member site, please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating. This helps others find the show more easily. If you have a suggestion for a new topic or a guest for the show, please reach out through the Contact Us form on alliesinrecovery.net. Special thanks to our hosts, our guests, and our production team.